Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your call. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hello, you're listening to All Paws Pet Talk Radio with your host, Deborah Wolf. And today we don't have Dwayne Grandboise. I know he'll be coming back in a few weeks. But for now, it's just me, solo. Only I have guests today. I have some great guests. In the first segment, I'll be having on Nancy Stanley. She's author of the book Pillow with a Heart Belt, with a Heartbeat. I said belt because the book comes with a collar that fastens it. It's really quite cute. And so I was thinking belt because I'm looking at this purple collar with this really cute little trinket on the end. But it's Pillow with a Heartbeat and by Nancy Stanley and Truffles, of course, who's the absolutely gorgeous, probably chocolate, but almost red poodle on the front. And we'll talk about that. You know how I feel about poodles. But we're going to talk about pet therapy and what this dog and what Nancy have to say about that. So we'll be talking about that. I think the dog was born awfully small and ends up being a therapist for people. So we'll be talking about that in the first segment. And in the second, I've got Darlene Arden on, and we're going to talk about a couple of quirky cat things if we have time. But also, I promised her we could talk about senior pets because, you know, people take 60, 70, 80 years to become seniors, but animals only take 5, 6, 8 years, and then they're already, bam, in their senior years. And so, you know, there's ways to entertain their minds without entertaining their bodies too much, and other things we can talk about. So we'll be talking with Darlene Arden about that. But I want to ask you to just, before my guest comes on, just think about my trivia question today. It's out of the news. Okay, first of all, when I first read it, I thought, oh no, please don't let that happen to me. I think of back in the Bible, Sarah was pregnant when she was over 100. Well, in the news, thank God it's not a human, but there's a creature that is 60 and expecting a baby. Now, how would you like to be 60 and be expecting a baby, or be 60 and be pregnant? Oh, good Lord, no. But see if you can guess what it is. It's pretty amazing. Scientists are astounded and amazed, and they're tracking the progress. So we'll find out. And I will tell you by the end of the show what I'm talking about. And no, it's not a human, and it has nothing to do with laboratories. It's an animal, and it's naturally doing this and has been doing this for a very, very long time. They estimate that it's probably raised, let me see, 30 offspring before. So altogether 30 so far, and it's working on at least one right now, maybe more than one, you never know. Okay, so, but they will know because they're watching everything. This poor animal is now under total scrutiny, hopefully discreetly and from afar so they don't upset it. But it'd be nice to see what happens there. Okay, so I promised you Nancy Stanley and Truffles. Hopefully Truffles can communicate somehow and enter the show, because this is all about Truffles. It's Pillow with a Heartbeat. Welcome to the show, Nancy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. So what's the story with Truffles?
Well, your story is book is his real life story. Actually, the book is his real life story. I got Truffles when he was 10 weeks old. And he was very, very, very sick when I got him. In fact, it was because of the poor judgment on a veterinarian's part, and which I hope people watch out when their vets suggest something they need to question, because I didn't. He gave him triple shots when he was less than a pound, and he had an earache at the time, and his lungs collapsed, and he almost died twice, and it was really a horrible, horrible job I had and a horrible story for him. But he's now 6 years old, and he's in perfect health. And he's the best therapy dog in the entire universe. I knew that the minute I met him. He picked me, and I knew he was going to be incredible. But I think because he was so ill and had that attention that I had to give him 24/7 for over a month, I mean, just like holding him and keeping him warm, this is what he expects people should do with him, and that's what
they do. So he really trusts people, maybe from that early experience.
And he knows the difference between just the way someone holds him, whether he wants to be with them or not, you know, that he feels the love from the people. It's just amazing. I mean, and that's why I did the book with him speaking, narrating, because I know how he's thinking, and I really believe I feel what he wants to say. So in the book, he's narrating the entire story.
Okay, so you kind of tried to see things through his eyes, or did he really tell this story?
No, he really tells the story. No, of
he
course.
Really tells the story.
No, you know, I don't want to give it away, but I mean, I think the bond that people have with, I mean, people think I'm crazy because I talk to him and answer him, and I believe everything he has so many different barks and so many different looks, and these telling eyes of his. I know what he's thinking, and I'm usually right. I mean, I'm usually right about it.
So you know, I think animals are really good at observing us, but most of us
get a different take on their animal, and they can see what they're saying and actually start, you know, trusting their instinct. Like he tells me when he wants to go out. He tells me when he wants his bomber bear that he plays with, or whether he'd rather have the frog. I mean,
absolutely.
I know those
you
looks.
Know, we used to think that the world record holder was the poodle who had 300 commands, and everyone was very impressed with that. Well, now there's this behavioral scientist who's trained his border collie, and the dog knows 1,000 different commands that are the kind that you could demonstrate, to the point where the researchers testing the dog and demonstrating with the dog have to keep lists because they can't remember 1,000 commands, but this dog sure can. You know, I believe it. And, you know, it's so true. If you observe your animals, sometimes it's almost like when you're sick and you don't know what's making you sick, and if you keep a little journal, you figure it out. Sometimes when you look at your cat or your dog and it makes the same noise at the same time or in the same way, writing it down helps because you'll start to figure out, oh, yeah, that's always at dusk, or that's always when I come home, or that's always when my kids leave, or that's always when it's dinner time, or some pattern comes in and you realize what the animal's really saying or asking for. And but I think it's so cool that you're watching like that. A poodle's a very, very smart animal. It's really, really a smart dog, and very there's nuances to the behavior. Their communication with people is very subtle and very deep. It's almost like having another person around in many ways. I'm sure you feel that your dog is particularly sensitive. Maybe when you take Truffles to a new place to do therapy, does Truffles automatically know who needs it?
Oh, you know, I'll just give you a perfect example. I was doing a book signing, and all these people were lined up to, you know, get a book.
Right.
And there was this one lady that, she looked just perfectly like all of us. You know, she looked really pretty, actually. And Truffles would not sit still. He wanted to get to this woman and have her pick him up, and that's all he wanted. He wasn't paying attention to anybody else.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, she said, "Boy, you know, I really needed this today," because he just melts into your neck. You know, he just puts his head down and doesn't budge, lets you touch him. What do you want, Trevor? He's trying to tell me something. Anyway. Right now.
You know what? I get this a lot of times when I'm on the radio. Afterward, I'll get an email from my guest saying, "My dog or my cat wouldn't leave me alone when I was talking with you." I don't know what it is, but I get this reaction everywhere I go. I get dogs and cats, even squirrels, strange animals darting out. You know, manatee just 2 weeks ago, and dolphins and stuff just comes to me. I don't know what it is, but I think if you're open, if you send out a message.
But I wanted to tell you that this woman that said to me on the line, she said, "I just can't believe he wants to be with me. He must know that I need him." And I said, "Well, why do you feel you need him?" And she said, "I just got through with my chemotherapy session."
Now, there's
and
a lot
I was like, "Well, Truffles must have known that you were going through a hard time, and he just wants to be with you." I mean, this dog senses this kind of thing, and I don't...
Let's give Truffles full credit, not to diminish his psychic abilities, because I'm sure they're there. I think dogs and cats communicate on nonverbal levels, which is sort of what we consider psychic, most of the time. So they're real experts at this. But in this particular case, a person undergoing chemotherapy would smell different from everyone else. And because your dog's had experience at the hospital, it would smell that familiarity. So just in the chemicals themselves, but also in the body changes. So he'd be aware of that. Other things, other tip-offs, like their clothes would smell like a hospital. Their being might smell like stress. There's medicinal smells that associate themselves with a person who's in and out of treatment anywhere that a dog will really pick up on. So there's a lot he's honing in on, plus the person's need for him, or withdrawn state, or low levels of energy, whatever that there is when you're weak and you need a dog. But it's nice that your dog cares so much about strangers like that.
Yeah, he does. And he's most happy when I pick up his therapy dog jacket. He does circles. I mean, he just can't wait to get in the car.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you said that. We only have a few seconds left. So Pillow with a Heartbeat, everybody. Nancy Stanley, you can get the book and find out all about Truffle Story. It's a great book for young adults or for adults. It's beautiful, and it'll explain all about therapy. But I'm glad you said that, because sometimes people feel sorry for therapy dogs. They think they work too hard. And for the dogs who are really good at it, it's the best work. So well done, and thank you so much, Nancy, and thank you, Truffles. Good dog, Truffles. Thank you, Nancy.
Okay. All right.
Bye. I'll pause Pet Talk Radio in a moment.
Scratch it. Is your itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo look it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426. Or on the web, www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
Welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk Radio with your host, Deborah Wolf. And I told you before, I just had an article published on AOL Paw Nation about Noah's Wish, and I love Noah's Wish, so I want you all to check it out. But you can also go to DeborahWolfOnline.com and see newborn puppy pictures. Yes, you can. There's all kinds of stuff there, and it's free to subscribe. And that's where I put the All Paws Pet Talk Radio Show segments I do, so you can listen to them. If you're listening to this somehow by fluke and you can't get it on your AM dial and you can't find it anywhere, you can find it there. So, okay, so we're back with Allie Phillips. And Allie, I know you've done some great work. So we talked about something a little bit difficult to start with. Now let's talk about the more feel-good topic. Let's talk about the kids. Let's talk about TASC. What is TASC?
TASC stands for Therapy Animals Supporting Kids. And this is a program that I had started teaching on, maybe 8 years ago, when I was training child protection professionals and prosecutors on how to prepare children for court. And it just made sense to me to make children comfortable and help them feel safe, because most adults are terrified to go into a courtroom. Now imagine you're 6 years old, how terrifying and confusing it must be. And we all know that
it's nerve-wracking when you're going in and you're doing something like a traffic ticket or a bill payment issue. It doesn't have to be something personal, secretive, something that where you're having to take sides with people you love. I mean, this is a terrible situation for a child.
It is. It is. It's very terrible. And, prosecutors and police detectives in particular want the child to feel comfortable through the process and not be traumatized. And we all know that therapy animals, by the nature of their name, are very comforting. And so I started to put two and two together and started finding agencies across the United States that were doing this. And when I was working at the American Humane Association, I partnered up with one of my colleagues who heads their animal-assisted therapy program and said, why not put guidelines together to help the prosecutors, the detectives, the child protection professionals on how to incorporate therapy animals with children. So that's how the Therapy Animal Supporting Kids TASC program came to be.
I can imagine if you're a scared little kid and you walk into a room and there's something really little and defenseless sitting there, like a bunny or a cat or a little dog. And this thing is so happy and comfortable and relaxed. that's got to just, on so many levels, send a message to those fearful children that this is a safe place. I mean, is that kind of what you're thinking? Is that the what their main purpose is? Or is there an actual protection part of it? No, it's just the comfort, right?
It's actually both. It really is both. I have seen children walk into an agency knowing that they're going to have to talk about something difficult with a stranger, something abusive that happened to them to a perfect stranger. And they walk in and they see a therapy dog sitting there in the lobby. They go running in, flop down on the floor. They're hugging and kissing this dog. And then when it's time to go back into the room to talk about what happened, even if that dog can't go back with them into the room, they're in a much better place. They're in a much better state of mind. But it's even going so far as if the child needs to actually crawl up into that witness stand and testify in front of a room full of strangers and potentially family of what happened, why not put a therapy pet right at their feet, whether it's a dog or a cat or what have you? Why not put that animal at their feet? Because it'll make them feel safe, especially when they are looking in the eyes of their abuser and having to point a finger to say, "You hurt me." What a better way to help them feel safe than to have a dog at their feet.
So how can people find out more about TASC?
They can either go to the American Humane website, which is AmericanHumane.org, or they can go to my website at AllyPhillips.com, and all the materials are there, including stories of child protection agencies and prosecutors' offices who are successfully utilizing therapy pets to really help child victims.
Okay, so that's the kids that are testifying and kind of meeting and in the system. But before they get to that, oftentimes the program you started called PAWS would be something that would help them. So when they're at home and violence erupts and the whole family has to escape, I understand why it's so important they have to take the pet, because if they don't take the pet, that's the way their abuser can draw them back, right? I mean, they've got to take the pet to get out, don't they? And then when they get to the shelter, what happens?
Well, right now, in a vast majority of American shelters, they're going to be turned away. There is still quite a lot of education that is left to do on what we call this linkage between violence to animals and violence to people in the home. And that is something that right now I am actively working on and trying to educate more prosecuting attorneys and law enforcement and child protection workers, that when there is a family where there is violence, don't just remove the human family members. They have to remove the pet, because when you look at over 60% of American households have a pet, just do the math of how many violent homes also have pets being targeted as part of the abuse. So what I did to address this situation, and this was a program that I had thought up way back in the mid-90s when I was a prosecuting attorney, was why not reconfigure the domestic violence shelters to allow the pets right on site with their families? Sounds pretty simple to you and me. Hasn't been that simple to implement. So what I did was, when I was at American Humane, we officially launched the Pets and Women's Shelters Program, the PAWS program. And I wrote a set of guidelines on how to do this at a domestic violence shelter. And what is wonderful, over the past 3 years, the program has grown from about 4 shelters that were housing pets on site to about 70. Now, of course, there are 2,500 domestic violence shelters in the country, so we have a long ways to go. And,
but you also have a list. Don't you have a list also of foster places and links, so that if you do go, because if you're listening to this right now and you're trying to get away from someone who's violent to you, your family, your kids, your pets, grab the pets and go. There's a way to get on the line, on the web, once you get to the shelter, and they'll find something, right? There's a way.
Absolutely. If you go to AllyPhillips.com and look for the link that says Sheltering Animals and Families Together, that is where you will find the listing of all the shelters that are housing pets on site with their families, as well as a link to the program's that will put the pets in an off-site situation safely, such as a foster home or a veterinary clinic or a boarding facility. It's all right there. And unfortunately, because American Humane discontinued the PAWS program, I'm continuing it through my website because this is life-saving information, and it needs to be out there available to families.
Well, thank you for coming on the show today, Allie. We're all out of time. I'll be back next week with All Paws Pet Talk Radio. In the meantime, check me out on AOL Paw Nation. It's Deborah Wolf with All Paws Pet Talk Radio, the best pet radio in America.
Disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
Pookie's, where your pet's nutrition is our mission. At Pookie's Pet Nutrition and Bowwell Bakery, we strive to provide a holistic approach to pet care with the greatest variety and highest quality of healthful foods, treats, and supplements for your pets since 1999. So let our experienced and knowledgeable staff help you answer your questions and choose the right food for your pet. They will take the time to listen to your concerns. At Pookie's Pet Nutrition and Bowwell Bakery, celebrate special occasions with a custom cake or cookies baked right on the premises in two locations, Winter Park and Ocoee. Pookie's, the largest independent pet store in the Orlando area. Custom birthday cakes, gift baskets, raw foods, supplements, and featuring home delivery in two locations, Winter Park and Ocoee. Call 407-622-PETS. Pookie's, committed to supporting local rescue groups and adoption efforts. Check it out online at pookiesbowwellbakery.com. Pookie's, where your pet's nutrition is our mission. 407-622-PETS.
When my dog Buddy was sprayed by a skunk, I didn't like the available options. Harsh peroxide mixes or tomato juice both damage the coat for months, dry out the skin, and can harm their eyes. And most skunk shampoos are just perfumes, also not safe for their eyes. So I invented Deskunkin' Jubilee with safflower oil, all-natural baking soda, mango butter, and other natural ingredients. Safe for your dog's eyes, coat, and skin, and okay if ingested. Works in one shot, money-back guarantee. Go to BuddyR.com, B-U-D-D-Y, the letter R.com.
Welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk Animal Rave. We're here with Skip Haynes, and we're talking about his book, Waiting for Rosie, and it's all about the process that happened with Skip and around his community, all in rescuing this one little sick animal who turned out to be, eventually, a gorgeous blonde California coyote. Now, you eventually caught her after all this. I love how you mentioned in the book that having a hybrid truck helped because when you went really slow.
Yes, it did. Right. Right. When we have a Ford Escape hybrid, and, you know, when it runs under 10 miles an hour, it runs silent. And that was one of the reasons I think Rosie did not spook as much with my vehicle. because I followed her a lot, and she got to know me. Not necessarily love me, but she got to know me, and she knew I wasn't a threat. And after she was captured in our garden, she was taken. They put her in hospital for 2 weeks to deal with the mange and the secondary infections that came from scratching and so forth. And then the woman who ran the organization asked us, she said, well, she has 6 more weeks of outdoor rehab. Do you want to rehab her at your house? And we went, okay. So we came, they came in and brought a pen, and they built a pen at the bottom of our house because we have a hill and, you know, and it, we have a large landscape garden where nobody could see her. And it was a 12 by 6 foot by 6 foot chain link, totally enclosed pen with a doghouse inside it. And they brought Rosie in, and we rehabbed her for 6.5 weeks. And we put in video cameras, surveillance cameras, and we watched her for 6.5 weeks and got to know her very well. We had to go down and feed her every day, and the organization provided food. She ate very well, I have to admit. she really liked avocados. And sometimes at 2 in the morning, we watch her. She'd take the avocado. She ended up living on top of the doghouse. She didn't live in it. The coyotes like to be high, we found out. I mean, altitude-wise, I don't. And we watched her for weeks, and the mantra always was you had to be very careful going into the cage so she didn't escape before she was completely rehabbed. And she
That's
wouldn't.
Right.
She would
and
go
I
into
love...
her doghouse and hide in the farthest.
Mm-hmm. I love the fact that she lost none of her intelligence during her captivity, and there were things that you put in that she, the minute you turned your back on, destroyed because she didn't like the blinds or the camera cable or whatever it was. She was none.
Oh, yeah.
Never
yeah.
anything other than a wild coyote.
Exactly. And the whole time we were rehabbing her, we never spoke to her. You could not speak to her. That was the rule. She had to remain feral and afraid of human beings. And apparently we were successful in our efforts. And then after 6 weeks of being so careful to make sure that the padlock was on, you know, we'd open the door and my girlfriend and I and somebody, either she or I, would go in and bring the food in. And every once in a while we had to clean the cage because coyotes are really funky. Whoa. So we had to do that. And the last night when it was time to release her, I remember going down to the door, and she, of course, was in the doghouse. We didn't see her. And opening the padlock and leaving the door open. And even though we wanted to do that, it was really kind of depressing because she was leaving. And
you had spent all those weeks trying to not let her escape. So it was counterintuitive by this point.
Right, exactly. And then, right, and it was totally. And it took her 4.5 hours to leave, to go through that door. She was so cautious. She was so afraid of what was going to be out that door. She didn't trust us or anything. And when she bolted, we actually had video of it. It was so fast, we couldn't even stop action her. She was gone. And then, you know, we kept the cameras up, and we've seen her a couple of times. But it was such an interesting process, and I kept a diary of the whole process that I just, because I do write books, I turned it into a book because I thought it would be a great thing for people to know. Because some of the things I learned about coyotes in doing it is, first place, you can't get rid of them. When the human race is finished, there's going to be cockroaches and coyotes left. You just cannot get rid of them. And our neighborhood learned to do this, and now we deal with coyotes. Pardon?
I'm here in all the way on the other side of the country in the Boston area, and so there are people who are having to deal with coyotes now that never had coyotes traditionally. We are, because humans wiped out the gray wolf population, there are now coyotes in Connecticut. There are coyotes in Massachusetts.
Right,
so,
hybrids, too, bigger than the ones out here.
Mm-hmm. So anybody,
yeah, well, you know,
I live in New York. I don't need to bone about this, but coyotes are expanding their range.
That's not true. There's coyotes. There's at least 2,000 coyotes in New York. There's like 4,000 of them in Chicago. They're everywhere. They're one of the few animals that thrive with humans because we provide them everything they need, food, water, and shelter. So, and you can live next to a coyote for 10 years, and you probably will never see it. And some of the things we learned was a lot of people want to cull the population if they see a coyote, kill them. Well, what happens with that is coyotes, unlike human beings, relegate their birth rate in direct proportion to their food source. If there's not a lot of food, they won't have litters. If there's a lot of food, they can have up to 16 pups. So what happens is people go in and cull a population. It immediately kills the coyotes. And then what happens is your rodent, rats, et cetera, triple within 3 to 4 months. You are overrun with rats, which provide a huge food source for coyotes, and other coyotes will move in from other areas, and you have twice as many coyotes as you had before you started. You can't kill them, and they're smarter than we are. You're not going to see them. It's very hard. It took us 4 months to trap a very sick 9-month-old coyote. That's how smart they are. So what our community learned, what other communities have to learn, is there's certain ways to deal with coyotes. You know, it's very simple. Don't leave any food sources around. Don't feed your pets outdoor. If you have fruit trees, pick up the fruit on the bottom of the trees. Coyotes are omnivores. They will eat anything. With your pets, you have to treat your pets like your kids. You know, it's like if you have a kid and you live next to the freeway, you don't tell them to move the freeway because your kid is out there playing. You have to take care of your kid. So if you're walking your dog, you have to realize small animals are prey size to coyotes.
Especially
in
cats.
California, I don't know how it is on the East Coast.
Especially cats and people
cats
who have clawed cats. That's you know, snack size.
Cats should never be left outdoors. Cats are not outdoor animals. Cats are not protected in any way by any government. Dogs are protected by government. All wild animals protected. Cats aren't. And a lot of people that feed feral cats, they have good intentions. But when you're putting cat food out, for what happens is the coyotes, they're smart. They'll come in and kill all the cats, and then they'll keep eating the food, and the people feeding the feral cats think it's the cats. It's not. You can't, you know, if there's a food source, the coyotes will be there. So remove your food and water resources, you know. Don't use poison. Poison is the worst thing you can do. Poison goes into the water aquifer underneath. You're actually poisoning yourself when you use poison. Any other animals, the way Rosie probably got maimed was probably one of her parents ate a poisoned rat or something, and they get secondary poisoning, which lowers their immune response, which allows the mange to happen. So poisoning, you don't want to use that. You don't want to have food out. And communities, you know, you can go online and find out. It's called hazing. You have to learn to haze coyotes. Hazing means when you see a coyote, yell at them, throw things at them. If you don't say anything, they're not afraid of you. If you make noise, if you scare them off, they're smart. They will stay away. They understand when they're not wanted, but the community has to do it, not just one person. It's very simple. I mean, there's a few things you can do that will really minimize the impact of negative impact. And with pets, it's totally your responsibility. You know, in California, our leash law is you can't have a leash, at least in Los Angeles, longer than 6 feet. And one of those reasons you don't want a long lead on your dog is because usually a coyote's comfort zone around a human's around 15 feet. Normally, they don't come closer than 15 feet. If your dog is within that 15-foot circle and you have them on a short leash, A, you can jerk them out of the way if you have to, and B, the coyote's probably not going to attack. But you have to be very aware of it, you know, especially people with small dogs.
And now, Skip, do you have a website? Do you want to tell people the website where people can find your book, Waiting for Rosie, which has so much information about coyotes, and it really tells the whole story about how the community came together to rescue this, like I said, turned out to be a beautiful blonde girl.
Right. She's gorgeous. She was gorgeous. She was definitely a pretty animal, you know, and I'm a dog lover, so coyotes are canids. So, people can go to our website, petcds, petcds.com, and look Rosie up. There's a banner right there that says Rosie Coyote. Just click on that, and all the information will come up, and they can see the book. It's also available in iTunes and the iBook store and on Amazon, and I forget the other ones, in electronic books.
Anywhere electronic books are sold. anywhere electronic books are sold. Skip,
this
I want to thank you so much for being on the air with us this time on All Paws Pet Talk. People, you've heard his music for animals many times and didn't know it. So now you've all met Skip and heard the story of Rosie. And we'll be back next week with more All Paws Pet Talk Animal Rave.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
With All Paws Pet Talk Radio and your host, Deborah Wolf. And I'm a dog trainer. I'm a cat trainer, too. And I'm here talking with Darlene Arden in this next segment. Now, she, like me, is bipetual. That's right. Not just dogs, not just cats. She straddles the fence and trains them both and works with them both. And I've had her on the show before talking about small dogs because it's one of my favorite books, Small Dogs, Big Hearts. That's one she wrote. But now she's trying to do for cats what she did for small dogs, and she's got a new book out. I'll let her tell you about that. It's all about cats. After I talked with Dr. Corin on the break there between segments, he told me that he thinks, and I read this in his book, that the average dog is equivalent to the smarts or intelligence of a human who is 2.5 years old. But the cat, he says, is only as smart as an 18-month-old human. And I was saying to him, you know, I think it's my mission to teach you to discover and embrace the cat, because obviously you're not getting it. You've lived with them, you've had them, but you're not getting it. You're missing something here. Maybe you're testing them by the things that dogs do well. I don't know, but you're missing it, because there's no way they're dumber than dogs. Darlene, what do you think? Welcome to the show, Darlene Arden.
Thank you, Deb. It's so good to be on the air with you again. Always fun.
Thank you.
I think Dr. Corin has not only missed the bug, but he can't even see enough of it to wave bye-bye at it.
I've got
cats
to have
you
two
incredibly
on together. Consider it. Consider
what?
It a plan. I'm going to have you two on together. I'm going to try and mediate this debate. All right. So cats are
I've lived with both. I know how intelligent dogs can be. I also know that, you know, it depends upon the breed and what you're measuring them for and what you consider intelligence.
Right, which is what his first book, Intelligence of Dogs, is all about.
Right, exactly.
You know, ability to escape is not necessarily the same as ability to do tricks, which is not the same as ability to hunt.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, exactly. But if you're looking at kind of the smart, clever trick tradability around the house, or you're looking at the real adaptive skills, like could this animal get out if the place was on fire? Could this animal find food? I mean, yeah, I think cats are looking pretty good.
Cats look very good. A lot of cats have saved their owner's life by doing the same thing dogs have done, which is notify the owner that the cat house is on fire and we got to get out of here now. Which sounds very good in cat language because now sounds a lot like meow.
Meow, meow, meow. That's
meow.
What it would sound like. A wailing, persistent, almost baby-like cry. If your cat's not Siamese and it's doing this, something is really wrong.
Exactly.
If your cat's Siamese, well, sorry, that's just what you get every day.
You're going to have to figure it out on your own. It may sound particularly high in a Siamese, in which case you may not hear it. It may be beyond human hearing. They have a particular sound. Also, I think cats are very much underrated. I have the feeling they're sitting at home doing the mental equivalent of twiddling their thumbs because they're bored, because owners have picked up on this, cats can't do anything. Well, yes, they can. They're extremely trainable. I find, as you've probably found, that they often train faster than dogs.
If they want to be trained, they train really fast. They almost want to get it over with. They just show it. They're like, look, I can do this. Look,
exactly.
I can do this.
That's exactly. I can do this. What else have you got?
Yeah. Give
me
the
treat. All you
what
wanted.
Are we doing next? They bore quickly. And they don't suffer fools. Cats like to go when they're training. They're almost like a border collie. They like to move fast.
That's exactly right. They do train like border collies. I mean, before you can ask, do you understand that? The cat's saying, look, it's like this, and let's get on to the next thing. What else have you got for me? They're
okay, so I got one other thing he asked me to ask you. He said, does she know about George Burns and his cats? And I didn't know about that. I think George Burns, I think cigars, I think chimpanzees. Did he have cats?
That's entirely possible. I didn't know about that. Stanley must be older than I am.
There you go. Oh, you outed him on that. Well, we'll ask him about that.
Sorry.
When I told him I was going to have you on to talk about some of the celebrities you've met in the pet world and what they're like, I realized I should be having him on to do the same because he's been all over. He's been on Oprah and Good Morning America, the whole circuit. I've been on shows with him too, but, you know, he's had a lot longer to be doing this and meeting celebrities. So we'll have him on the show to talk about that. Now, in your book, you touch on this a little bit, and I've noticed it on your website. So, okay, Betty White, what's she like in person? And Bob Barker, what's he like?
Betty, first of all, is the only quote-unquote celebrity with whom I maintain an ongoing relationship. And this was Betty who instigated it. She is wonderful. She is everything you would think and hope that she would be. What you see is very much what you get. There's no Hollywood BS, as I prefer to call it.
Mm-hmm.
She genuinely loves animals. Her accountant, she told me, has to keep reminding her to stop giving away so much money to animals. She's just, her heart is in the right place. I mean, I could tell you wonderful stories about how she's acquired her animals. All of them adopted.
That's Betty White. I want to have her on my show, and I was trying, but I think she's very, very busy right now. So
she
what about Bob Barker?
Now,
Bob Barker, we always hear
Bob Barker calls himself a maverick. Bob doesn't quite understand that if you really want to get your message across, you have to talk to everyone. He's very much an animal rights person, whereas Betty and I are animal welfare. Now, if you look at the agenda of animal rights and you really look at those organizations and read what they posted, their ultimate goal is to ensure, and I'm not sure that Bob understands this, that none of us ever own any pets.
Are you talking about PETA? Or what specifically are you talking about that he supports?
He supports the entire agenda. So I don't know which specific organizations he might be involved with. But the agenda of PETA, and we see it more with HSUS, is that they are more animal rights than animal welfare. HSUS will tell you they're animal welfare, but they seem to be sitting on a fence, and oftentimes they fall on the side of animal rights. Now, I don't want anyone telling me that I can't have my cat, that I can't have a dog, that my friends who have lost sight can't have a guide dog who lives with them 24/7 and goes to work with them. Who has a better life in a sense? And
yeah, the idea that working animals are exploited is completely, it's just bogus.
Baloney.
Because they have to be so suited to it, so exceptionally unsuited to being pets in order to even qualify.
The ones who aren't suited to it don't qualify and become house pets. And there's nothing wrong with being just a house pet.
But oh, and the ones who fall just short, the ones who are almost good enough to be seeing eye dogs but not quite, they end up being assistance dogs for autistic kids. So, I mean, and they love their job. Usually the reason they flunk is they like kids too much, and so they get distracted.
And they all learn to ignore cats or get along well with cats, one or the other. There's no third option there.
Okay, so we're going to talk about cats in a minute because we have to talk about your new book. But what about Jerry Seinfeld? I was surprised to see him on your list of celebrities. Dogs, cats, what's his thing?
His thing is boxes of cereal and his kids. I don't know that he even owns a pet yet.
Oh, really?
Jerry's a really tough interview.
Uh-huh.
He's one of those, you know how funny he is on camera and on stage?
Right.
he's so quiet that getting an interview out of him is like pulling teeth. I was glad I was as experienced as I was before I walked into that interview, because if he had been one of my earlier interviews, I would have just stared and then gone home and cried. He was one-word answers.
About Reba McEntire? Now, when you say Reba, I think horses, maybe?
No? Horses, absolutely.
Oh, and there you go. So she what you see is what you get?
She's very much what you see is what you get. She's a lot of fun. The first interview we did, it was in her dressing room at a summer theater, and mosquitoes abound in this area. And she kept staring and staring and staring, and finally she got up from her chair, came over to me. I didn't know why. She hadn't preceded it with anything. Slammed her hands together within a fraction of an inch of my nose. It was driving her crazy that there was a mosquito buzzing around me.
Oh, nice.
Which was really funny, and I said to her, don't worry, I'm wearing my favorite perfume in the summer, Oh, the Deep Woods Off. And we we had a good laugh about that. The mosquito wasn't bothering me at all and wouldn't have stung me, but she was afraid it would.
So, okay, when we come back from break, I'm going to ask you about Reba's horses, and I'm going to ask you about William Shatner just quickly. Can't get to all the celebrities you've interviewed. There's so many of them. But then I want to ask you about the cat book. So first, let's go to break. Everybody stay tuned with All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And when we come back, we'll be finding out about Reba McEntire's horses. And I think maybe William Shatner's Dobermans. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Talking to Darlene Arden on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deborah Wolf.
Put those monkeys back in bed.
Hello, you're back with All Paws Pet Talk Radio and your host, Deborah Wolf. And that music is bang on for my guest, Darlene Arden. Darlene and I have talked to the animals. We talk to cats, we talk to dogs, and to each other. We can even test each other, imitating animal sounds and say, okay, well, what does that mean? And what does that mean? So, Darlene, what does that mean, Darlene?
Death. Sounds like a dog who's very anxious.
Well, it could be. But if that was a cat and it was sitting at a window going,
birds, and he'd be looking at squirrels outside, and he'd be getting very excited because prey was out there, and as it got closer, that sound would get a little more active.
There you go. There you go. Now, every time I test you on this, you score 100%. We speak cat. Yes, we do at All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We speak cat and we speak dog. And so William Shatner.
And we're pretty fluent in it, too.
I know. It's really funny. Travel the world and you can speak it and you can understand it. Dogs and cats all over the place. Same body language. Same sounds.
Exactly.
Same movement. So, okay, William Shatner, I've always thought of him as a Targ or Tribble kind of a guy from Star Trek. It turns out he's a distant cousin of mine, and I have tried to get him on the show before. No luck yet, but I'm still waiting for that interview. I know he loves horses, and I know he loves Dobies. What do you know about him? I know you've met him. What's that like with Captain
we've
Kirk?
We've done a couple of interviews. The first time I met him, he had quarter horses and Dobies.
See, that's
and
my favorite. He was
showing his Doberman. And then the next time we spoke, it was a while in between, and of course we were talking animals. Duh, what else?
Yes.
Well, yes, we did talk television, but, you know, it always comes back to animals when I'm involved. And the next time he changed his line of Dobermans. I think there was a health problem with what he had, and he was smart enough to start all over again with a different line of Dobermans. And then he got into Tennessee walking horses, I believe.
Oh, I thought it was Morgan's. That's interesting. Okay.
I think it was Tennessee walking horses. And he not only rides, but he also has them attached to sulky carts. And he drives as well. Because those horses have a very different gait. And he does a lot of fundraising for charity. with these horses.
I can just imagine the look on the lawyers' faces when they hire him to do some new picture or new show, and they realize that in his off hours, he's going to be racing around on the back of a chariot.
Well, and he's not the smallest guy in the world. He may be short, but, you know, what he lacks in height, he makes up for in width these days. So it can't be that, he still looks pretty good, but it still can't
You know,
be
it's
that
funny, when I look at him, I don't see him now. I see Captain Kirk. I do.
I know, that's it. He's so indelibly imprinted in our minds as Captain Kirk that we see him young.
So, okay, so on this list of celebrities, we do have a few cat people, cat lovers. This new book, you're trying to do for cats what you did for small dogs. So what's special about the new book?
Oh, Deb, I'm so glad you asked. One of the things I did that no other general book for cats has ever done is I went to responsible cat breeders. And I asked them how they raise their kittens so that any new owner, any volunteer at a shelter, any foster can apply these techniques to raising kittens and being around them so that they have the best possible chance to become wonderful pets. I also have a good deal of cat behavior in there, not only what it is and what they do, how to prevent it, bad behavior, and how to cure bad behavior, how to go and find the problem and see if you can work that out without having to call in a behavior consultant. If it goes beyond what's in the book, you need somebody to come in. I also have cat training. Hello, Dr. Corin. Yes, they can be trained. And I have that in there. It's health, wellness. There are so many different parts to this book, and it's easy to read. I deliberately made it easy to read. It's not rocket science. It's a case of looking at them and understanding. And I help the owners understand and how to prepare for a cat, what things you need in your house.
You know, when Dr. Sankoran slams cats, he's not really slamming them. He does say he likes them, and he's had the occasional one he even liked a lot. But he contrasts things. He's got all these studies, like most North Americans are willing to spend up to $1,800 for emergency care for a dog, whereas they'll only spend $600 on their cat. Or he points out to things like, if you ever grew up with a dog, then you're 96% likely to want one. But if you ever grew up with a cat, you're only likely to want one 47% of the time. Like, he's got all these numbers that show that. And then
you know,
he does personality
studies. Stats don't always hold true. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, Deb. But also,
sure.
I mean, the studies have been done that people who grow up with cats want a cat. I grew up with dogs. I'm living with a cat. I mean, there goes the study out the window.
Oh, well, there's three categories. There's the cat people, cats only people, dogs only people, and the people who like both. And he's personality tested them all. And so these come up with categories on, you know, and the dog only people and the dogs and cats people are very, very similar. It's the cat only people that are kind of off there in their own little perfect world.
I'm not going to get myself into trouble with that. I think I'll stay away from that.
I'm going to have to invite you two back, maybe next week, sometime soon. Get you both on to debate this, cats versus dogs, for real, because this is fun. But, okay, so your cat book goes through what to do with kittens, but it also goes past that. See, that's what frustrates me sometimes.
Cats,
people
exactly.
deal a lot with what to buy and how to use what to buy, but not how to behave or train or deal with or talk to or teach cats. And especially, they get older very quick. You know, most of their life isn't a kitten. So does your book cover all that, too?
Absolutely. It covers all of that. Plus, I mean, I wanted to cram so much in there that even the photo captions are cat trivia. I got rid of myths. There are so many myths surrounding cats. Cats take a baby's breath. Oh, please. I even have a picture in there of a cat sleeping with a baby. Talk about how the purr is healing, not just for the cat, but for the human as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much information, good information, that's never been brought out to the public all in one place or never been brought out at all.
Okay, so Darlene, give us the title and tell us where they can get it because we're running out of time pretty quick.
It's The Complete Cat's Meow. It's available in brick-and-mortar stores. It's available online at Amazon, wherever there are Amazon stores in the world. And it's available just about anywhere books are sold. The Complete Cat's Meow.
Okay, the cat's meow. Well, thank you very, very much, Darlene. We'll have you back to debate Dr. Corin if you're up to it.
Oh, I'm up to it. Is he up to it?
Oh, he's into it. Oh, yeah, of course. No, it'll be a great show. Thanks again. All right, everybody. You've been listening to All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deborah Wolf, and I'll be back again next week. And until then, be good to your animals.
Bye-bye.
Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.